Good morning. Welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for joining us here this morning as we worship the Lord and as we take some time and look into God's Word. Thank you for being a part of the service today. And it is, we've been meeting this way because of COVID-19. And we have a major update that happened this week, kind of all caught us by surprise, as the Ontario government announcing that we can begin to move towards 30% capacity on church services. And so we're trying to figure out the logistics of how that all works. And even though we could have probably been able to meet this Sunday, we wanted to take the time to be able to figure it all out to make sure that we did everything the way that it's supposed to be done. And so keep your eyes on Facebook and keep your eyes on the Daily Encouragement, as we're going to be giving you updates on how things are going to unfold. One thing that I do want to let you know is that even if we do begin to have services here at Calendar Bay Church, like live services where you can come and attend, we will still be having online services. This is something that I feel is very important as we move ahead to continue. And so even though we'll be moving towards getting back to meeting physically in the building, we are still going to continue to have online services for a couple of reasons. But one of them is that I know that some are not in a hurry to get back together, that they want to try to keep they have some underlying health issues or whatever the case may be, that they're just not quite ready. And we want to make sure that you're loved and cared for and that you have a service that you can be a part of. And so that is going to continue one way or another. Well, we have had some other ways that we can keep connecting. We've been using our Facebook group, and we've also been using our daily email, which is sent out 6 times a week, the Daily Encouragement. And you can go to email info@calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can get on that list if you want to get connected in that way. And I think that's one of those things that even when we start to physically meet, that in one form or another, the Daily Encouragement is going to continue. We also want to let you know that prayer requests can be sent to our prayer chain, which is prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. And you can send your prayer requests and have your special needs prayed for. And so thank you to Denise Boudreau, who has been taking care of that. And you can just send your prayer requests to that email address. You can give online. This has been such a blessing that we've been able to continue to function here at Calendar Bay Church, even though we haven't been able to gather in the building, that we've been able to do this. Thank you so much for your generosity. And if you would like to give online to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church, all you have to do is go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. And when you go there, you'll find the About tab, and you click on the About tab, and it'll say Ways That You Can Give. And you can click there, and many of you have already got that set up. And I think once you get it set up, it's all ready to go, and you don't have to do it again. So go to our website page, calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can give there. The other way that you can give is by sending your donation by mail, and you can do that by mailing Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that address is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And a thank you again for your gifts and your contributions to help Calendar Bay Church. Well, each week we come up with a worship playlist, and that's available for you. It's in the sermon video link, and it's also available on our webpage. There are other resources that we have here at Calendar Bay Church, the small group curriculum and the Bible discovery lesson for families are available, and you can use those straight off of the webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, or you can download Both of those resources are downloadable as well. And so these are just ways that you can help you, your family, to grow and spiritually. And so you can go to calendarbaychurch.ca. There's lots of great information. You can get caught up on messages that you may have missed. So you can go to calendarbaychurch.ca. Lots of great resources there. Well, we want to worship the Lord together. And let's sing together, "Great Are You, Lord."
Bless you, Lord. You're worthy of all our praise.
It's great to be able to sing of our great and awesome God. Great are you, Lord. Well, we're continuing on a series of messages, and actually this is the second last week. Next week, we're going to wrap this series up, and the series has been called, Who is This Man? Talking about the unpredictable impact of the inescapable Jesus. That Jesus is unavoidable as history's most significant person. And so we've looked at the life of Jesus from a historical perspective, and then we've seen how that has affected us here and now today. And today we want to look at another significant truth from the Word of God about Jesus when he was here on earth and how that affects us, because it affects us greatly today. When Jesus entered into the world, he entered with no dignity, which is, you know, kind of surprising, because this is the God of the universe is making his appearance here on earth. And when he does come, he comes in a very undignified manner. Now, even before Jesus was born, he would have been given a bit of a title or a description that would have been very undignified. And God kind of created the situation for that title to be attached to him. He would have been known as a Mamzer. And a Mamzer was a child who was born to parents who weren't married. Now, every society has its name for a child that was born out of wedlock. And all of those terms in every single culture are ugly terms. They're often used as insults, as a derogatory description, as a way of making fun of someone. And so this would have been the undignified position that Jesus had even before he was born. And then he came into the earth and he had a very undignified beginning. This is the whole Christmas story. As Jesus comes to the earth, he was born in a barn. And so his cradle would have been a feeding trough. His nursery mates would have had four legs because they were farm animals. He would have been wrapped in rags because there would have really been nothing else there, because they were in a different environment than where they were from. And so he would have been targeted for death from the beginning. And so Jesus was born in a barn. I remember when I was a kid, that was always a description that was used if you were messy and you were undignified. Were you born in a barn? And so Jesus actually has that as his beginning. And so Herod, who we're going to talk a little bit more about as we go through this message, targeted Jesus for death. That Jesus had a bullseye on him even before he was born, or very quickly after he was born. He was raised on the run. He was born in a town that was not where it was where his ancestors were from, but he wasn't from there. And he went to Egypt and lived there for a period of time, then went to Nazareth because of political unsteadiness. And so Jesus was raised on the run. You know, if you've ever had those kids that were, you know, always seem to be moving here and there, Jesus would have been in that as well. Jesus also, we talked about the Christmas portion, this is the Easter portion, had a very undignified end to his life. He was a convicted criminal. He was publicly beaten. His disciples abandoned him. He was placed into a borrowed grave because he didn't have anything of significance. And so here we have Jesus, who really has no status. He had before he was born, given an undignified title. He was raised and born in undignified places. And his death was a very undignified death. But Jesus himself, if you were to kind of contrast Herod is the exact opposite of Jesus. Now, the Bible says that when Jesus was born, he was born in the time of Herod. Herod was the guy with significance. Herod was the guy with position. Herod was the dignified one. And so here we have Jesus who's born in the time of Herod. Now, Herod himself was born of noble birth. He came from a family that had political sway and political power. And so he had a noble birth. He moved himself up, became the leader of armies, became of such note that the Romans took notice of him. And when he was 33 years old, the Romans gave him the title. And he earned it, the title of King of the Jews. And he was 33 years old when that happened. Interesting to note that the 33 is a very important number. Before Jesus was born, Alexander the Great, another great, who conquered most of the world, was 33 when he died. Jesus was 33 when he died. King Herod ascended to the throne of Israel at the age of 33. Very interesting. And Herod himself was a very politically skilled individual. That's why he stayed on the throne of Israel for 40 years. That took a lot of political jockeying in order to be able to do that. And Herod was a ruthless leader. Historians say that it was safer to be a pig in the kingdom of Herod than it was to be one of his relatives. When Herod was on his deathbed, one of his sons started to jockey for political power a little bit too soon. And Herod the Great got wind of it, and that was the end of that son. And so here we have Herod, who is a strong political leader, noble birth, and he got the title Herod the Great. And the reason he got that title was because, well, he was one of the greatest builders of his day. And so Herod began to restore the temple. It actually became known as Herod's Temple, because the Temple of Solomon had been destroyed. And so he took it upon himself to rebuild the temple in Israel. And he rebuilt, and it became known as Herod's Temple. Now, some of the stones from this temple were big, they were designed very meticulously, and some of those stones are still around today. And in contrast, you know, anything, Jesus was a carpenter, I don't think there's anything left of Jesus's building here on earth. But Herod's, you could still see some of what he built. And he was called Herod the Great for a reason. Now, he was great, maybe not in a good way. He was ruthless. He was cruel. And he was powerful. And as we contrast the life of Jesus, Herod, his goal was to kill Jesus. And there's a great leveler. Jesus himself, in contrast to Herod, Matthew describes it as Jesus was a child. Now, that makes sense. He was a child, but it doesn't use his name. It just uses the generic term, they moved the child, or they went to see the child. It was a term that, child was a term in that time frame that refers to the fact that they were the bottom of the status ladder. And what I mean by that is that they would be referred to as the child because they really didn't have enough significance to be named. And so here we have Jesus being described as a child. And it's almost as if he's just a nameless thing being moved here and there in the story, because children had very little significance. A child was dependent, defenseless, fragile, vulnerable, and at risk. And so in the story, Jesus is moved here and there at the control of other individuals. Children usually don't make things happen. Things happen to them. You know, children are just along for the ride of the rest of life as it goes on. And so here we have Jesus described as a child. Herod the Great, here's the contrast. Herod the Great made things happen. He was a mover, he was a shaker, he was a builder. Jesus in our story just has things happen to him. He's living in reaction to everything else that happens. But the Bible describes something else about Herod. And this is the great leveler, the great reversal. In the book of Matthew, three times it describes that Herod is dead. They stayed in Matthew 2:15, where they stayed until the death of Herod. After Herod died, those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And so Matthew clearly describes the fact that Herod is dead. And the statistics are the same for everybody. We are all born and we all die. It's the same for everyone. And this is the great reality that we live under, is the fact that each one of us is going to die, whether you are great or whether you are not, you are going to die. I might even look at picking this up. I think it's a great reminder. Somebody had a watch, and on the watch it says, the one hand says, remember, and the other one says, you will die. So every time you look to see what time it is, it's a reminder of the fact that we are all fragile, that we all are going to come to the same point. Remember, you will die. Now, in the time that Jesus lived, it was a ladder system. And at the top of the ladder was the gods. You know, and so the gods were the top, and then underneath that were the kings. And in Roman terminology, they were almost semi-gods, or they had they thought of themselves to have deity. And under that would have been the courts and the priests, and under that would have been the artisans, the merchants, and the craft people. And under that would have been the peasants and the slaves, and probably in that category would have been children as well. They were the bottom of the gap. Those that were at the top of the ladder had dignity. Those that were at the bottom of the ladder had no dignity. And so here we have this system that is being used in this time frame. And this is the dignity gap. The farther down the ladder, the wider the gap. And so you have those that have the most dignity at the top and those at the bottom that have the least amount of dignity. Why did Jesus, when he came, start himself at the bottom? Jesus wanted to teach us that the dignity gap shouldn't exist. Jesus wanted us to realize if he would have came in at the top of the heap, those that are at the bottom would have lost hope. And Jesus wanted to teach us that the dignity gap needs to be removed. And so Jesus challenges the gap. This is an idea that comes from the very beginning. This is not a new idea that Jesus is trying to express. It is an idea that was there from the very beginning. Listen to what it says in Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Men and women are created in the image of God. And in the garden situation, it said that God gave them dominion. And dominion is a royal word. And so it is describing that in his kingdom, we have dominion. So we have been created as in the image of God. And so we are princes and princesses in the kingdom of God. We've been declared to be royal. And we have dignity because we have been created in the image of God. Imago Dei is the Latin phrase for the image of God. And each one of us, who, when we are born with the image of God. It has been stamped upon us. We have the image of God. Martin Luther King, the great social reformer, said that there are no gradations of the image of God. What does he mean by that? He's saying that there's no variance. Everyone is born in the image of God. That they are born with certain rights because they are born with the image of God. And all of us are born with the image of God. That there is no difference in human beings. That one does not have more of the image of God than somebody else. We are all born the same, with the image of God stamped on us. And we have no more dignity than anyone else because we all have dignity because we have the image of God stamped upon our lives. You know, there are variations in a lot of other things in the world. You know, you can be, you're probably better at me than a whole bunch of things, and that's okay. But when it comes to the image of God, we are all exactly the same. We all have Imago Dei, the image of God stamped on our lives. The reason every person has great worth for Jesus is that everyone is loved by God. Everyone has bestowed worth upon them. What does that mean, bestowed worth? Well, let me use an illustration in order to be able to explain that. When my wife was a little girl, for Christmas the one year, she got Tippy Toes, which was a doll at the time, as you can see by the picture, very, very 70s. And I love what it says. She's a spunky little girl. She'd rather walk than ride, push her stroller and watch her perky stride. My wife loved Tippy Toes. If you get her talking about Tippy Toes now, she still gets a gleam in her eye because she loved her Tippy Toes, and she played with Tippy Toes all the time. But one day she was playing with her Tippy Toes and something horrific happened. Her head fell off, and so she was distraught, and so she brought it to her dad, and her dad did the best that he could at the time, and he got a bolt and he put it through Tippy Toes' necks, and then he put a wing nut on the other side to hold her head back on. And if you were to talk to my wife, she says she loved her even more after she had the bolt put through her neck. To the watching world, if they would have saw Tippy Toes, they would have said, that is an old broken doll that looks like Frankenstein because she's held together with bolts. But to my wife, she was loved and she had bestowed worth. And each one of us has bestowed worth by God. And what does that mean? It means that we are loved not for any reason. We don't have to earn a certain amount of money. We don't have to live a certain lifestyle. We don't have to have a certain mental faculties in order to be loved by God. We've been stamped with the image of God, and because of that, we have bestowed worth. We have worth in the eyes of God. And it is for no reason, just because. And so we each have bestowed worth before God. The ancient world didn't teach this idea. They didn't teach that each of us was born equal, that each of us was born with value, that whether I was a child or whether I was from a rich family or whatever it was, they didn't teach that each person had bestowed worth. They taught that if you were on the top of the ladder, you were worth more than the person who was on the bottom. And that's why Jesus was born at the bottom, because he wanted to teach us that worth has nothing to do with that, that we have the image of God placed upon us and we have bestowed worth. In this environment, children were again at the bottom of the heap, the bottom of the pile. And they were often used, they were made into slaves. They were abused because, well, they were just throwaway things. They were often exposed. Exposed was the principle that if you had a child that maybe was born with a deformity or whatever, that they would just throw them out, and they would expose them to the elements. And sometimes people were exposed because of deformity. Sometimes they were exposed because, well, they just couldn't afford it. Others were exposed because maybe they weren't the right gender in that environment. Boys, children were considered more significant, and girls were thrown out. And Jesus says, no, this is all wrong. And Jesus taught some very significant things about kids, which was so countercultural in a society where kids were deemed as insignificant and unimportant. Jesus comes along and he teaches about kids, and he teaches something totally different. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, 1-5. He says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So they're probably thinking, you know, well, we're his disciples, so we must be up on the ladder. We must be more significant and more important than other people. Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus comes at them and he says something totally different. He says, he calls a kid and says, hey, come here. He called a child, little child, to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Jesus at another point teaches about children again. This is Matthew 19. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples said, you guys are not significant. You're not important enough to be able to come and see Jesus. And Jesus tells the disciples, stop. And the Bible tells us that he rebuked them. And he invited the children to come. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he placed his hands on them, he went out on from there. Why? What is Jesus doing? Jesus is trying to get rid of the dignity gap. And he's using children because the children were the part of the lowest part of culture. And Jesus is saying, children are important. They have bestowed value in the kingdom of God. They have the image of God stamped upon them. And so what is Jesus teaching? It wasn't a child's job to become like Herod, great, status, rich, powerful. It was Herod's job to become like a child. It was Herod's job to see that the dignity gap was not important and to see value. But Herod didn't. He killed anybody who got in his way because he was more important, that he was more significant. Greatness comes to those who die to being great. If you want to learn to be great, what does Jesus say? Another point, he says, learn to be the servant of all. Jesus says, being a servant, being a kid? What is Jesus saying? He's saying, get rid of the dignity gap. Nobody in the ancient world was teaching this. Slavery was significant. That being a slave, that those people have value, that kids have value. And Jesus teaches at another point. Jesus teaches, welcome the children because they have bestowed worth. And then he goes on and he teaches that the lowest have worth. Jesus gives a whole illustration about how, you came to jail and you visited me. I was hungry and you gave me food. And this is what Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And so Jesus is teaching the sick, the poor, the imprisoned, and the homeless, what do they have? They have bestowed worth. They are significant and they are important. And so Jesus says that the dignity gap should not exist in the kingdom of God. And so when we talk about what does the Jesus life look like, what is Jesus teaching historically that translates down to us? Well, number one, and this is important because some of us feel like we're at the bottom, that we're not insignificant and we're not important, that we didn't make enough money, that we didn't get the right job, that we didn't, that our circumstances were, ones that were undignified. Maybe we made some wrong choices. And what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, you have bestowed worth. You have the image of God placed upon your life. You are significant and you are important. And maybe you are just feeling absolutely and utterly worthless right now. And Jesus wants to tell you that you have worth, bestowed worth, the image of God placed upon your life. You are loved. You are significant. You are important. You have value. And what else is Jesus teaching us? Jesus is teaching us to never look down on anyone. That the reality is that we are all on the same path and the same journey. It's like the watch. Remember, we're all going to die. And we are all equal in the kingdom of God. And we are not to look down on anyone. Anyone. That this is what Jesus wants us to realize. That in this day and age, you do not look down on anyone because of their age. We don't look down on anybody because of their disabilities. We do not look down on anyone because of their religion. We do not look down on them because of their ethnicity. That in the kingdom of God, we are all equal. The American Constitution got it right. These truths are inalienable, that each man is created equal. And so we need to remember to never, ever look down on anyone. And we need to stand up for the marginalized. At different points in time, we are going to discover groups that have been more marginalized in our society. And we need to stand up with those groups. Jesus taught that there's going to be a certain point when one sheep gets lost, and we are going to leave the other 99. Not that the other 99 aren't important, but we are going to leave the 99, and we're going to stand up with those that are lost and have lost their significance in our society. And we are going to stand with the one. And so in this day and age, let's make sure that we stand up for those that have been marginalized in our society. And we stand with them. And so let's remember to stand up for the marginalized. And let's bring the best news ever to the world. What's the good news of Jesus Christ? The good news of Christ is that the dignity gap does not exist in the kingdom of God, that we are all equal, that all of us have been stamped with the image of God, and all of us have bestowed worth placed upon us because God loves us. God is good all the time, and He's working things out, and God wants to be known. You have bestowed worth in the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught us by the way He lived and the way He died and the way He taught that the collapse of this dignity ladder bestows worth on us all. And let's remember, God has placed His image upon us. Imago Dei, the image of God. And we have bestowed worth. And because of that, we do not look down upon anyone because we are all have the same footing before the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that when Jesus came, He came with the distinct purpose of destroying this dignity gap that we somehow have built in society. And You have said to each one of us that we have bestowed worth. You use the example of kids, as kids were part of the lowest part of society. And You use them as an example to bring this to an end so that we could discover the equality that we have in Christ, that each of us has been stamped with the image of God, and that we all have bestowed worth. Thank You, Jesus, for the value that You place upon each of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song, and this is a song just expressing how great God is. How great is our God? Well, we're going to be keeping you updated on what changes we're going to be making to the services. And so just keep an eye on Facebook and on the Daily Encouragement, and we'll give you some new news on how things are going to be going and with services here at Calendar Bay Church. Well, I pray that as we wrap things up today, you can always join in on the conversation with the video. And as we kind of wrap things up, the video is going to run for a couple minutes, and you can say your goodbyes and also just to be able to encourage people through discussion. But I just pray that we would realize that we have bestowed worth in the kingdom of God, the image of God placed on our lives. And because of that, the dignity gap has been destroyed and we are all equal. And that we need to stand up for those that are marginalized, and that we need to reach out to people with the incredible message that they have bestowed worth in the kingdom of God. God bless you as you go through your week. Stay safe. Continue to take good, strong measures to keep everyone else safe and healthy, and have a wonderful week. God bless.